Good morning. It's time to get up with a fallen star. A huge injury for Dak and the Cowboys as their top offensive lineman could be out for months. We'll tell you what this means for their season. Plus, a Steel City showdown in the final week of the preseason. Pickett or Trubisky? We'll debate who should get the starting nod in Pittsburgh. And trouble for Tampa Tom. One of our analysts has big concerns about the Buccaneers' ability to get the ball downfield. That and a lot more as we say get up to you this morning. I am Ryan Smith in for Greeny. So great to see you. We're live at the Seaport. We got a very busy morning for you. Look who's joining me. Super Bowl champion this Saturday. Three-time Super Bowl champion James White. Loving this, right? Diana Russini ready to break some stories at home. And we have a big one overnight. So let's get right to it with our developing story from the NFL. Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith suffered a torn left hamstring in practice last night that could cost him multiple months of the season. More reviews to fully determine the severity of the injury are planned for today. Now, the Pro Bowl tackle has already missed 20 games in the last two seasons. Dallas is nearly a full yard per play better when Smith is on the field. Not surprisingly, the Cowboys' sack rate is worse when Smith isn't there to protect his quarterback. So let's get right into this with our team. Jeff, you're our resident lineman. How is this going to affect Dak Prescott in this offense?
Listen, this is brutal for Tyron Smith. So first of all, let's start with that, man. You hate to see a player of this caliber go down. Respected the heck out of the way he's played for a number of years. So I'm disappointed for him. As far as the Cowboys go in particular, though, this is not unexpected for them. And maybe the length of injury is a bit, but they've dealt with it. You saw it and you said it 20 games over the last 2 years with Tyron being out of the lineup. So they understand how to adapt. Dak Prescott understands how to adapt. Here's the part that I think most people will be surprised at. Where they will really suffer is in the run game, especially to the left. When you talk about a yard per carry difference when they're running to the left, when he's in and when he's out, that is a massive difference. And so I think that's a big deal. And then Himbo gave me this stat, which is incredible. In play action, they are 30% less effective when he's not in the game. So what does that mean? Usually for a right-handed quarterback, when you play action pass, the offensive line is going to block and have some double teams, but the left tackle is going to be on an island. So when he's not in there and the quarterback gets pressure, that's where your deep throws come. That's where your explosive plays come. So a 30% effective rate for Dak Prescott and his ability is a huge loss. That's a massive loss with Tyron Smith being out of the lineup. So those are the things they're going to have to scheme around. They will have that in known passing situations. They will be able to scheme around it because they'll use backs, tight ends. They understand that portion. But that, you can't fake it when it's play action. You're one-on-one on the island back there on the blind side. So that's a massive loss.
Great
in that
point.
Area.
Huge loss there. Diana, how are the Cowboys preparing to handle Smith's absence?
Yeah, to add to what Jeff is saying, you know, over the last three seasons, Tyron Smith has been average in pass protection as well. So, yes, he is a cornerstone of this offensive line. He's been one of their best players on this team for the last 12 seasons. But his play has declined over the past few years. That being said, Jerry was really smart this offseason, right? We know that he drafted offensive linemen. We know that Tyler Smith has had a pretty good camp so far. We'll see if the Cowboys decide to move him over to that starting left tackle position. We don't know just yet. They have a couple guys that they're playing around with. We don't know if they're perhaps going to try to seek a trade with another team to fill this void. But Jeff really hits the nail on the head. When I had a text message exchange with a player in the division this morning, just to get a reaction, because Tyron Smith is just such a big name. And the response was very similar to what Jeff was saying, which is like, isn't this kind of what Dallas has been dealing with? He hasn't had a healthy season since 2015. So while, yes, this isn't great news at all for the Dallas Cowboys, this is something that they can manage because they've had to do it before.
All right, and Tyler Smith, of course, being the rookie they drafted to eventually replace Tyron Smith, and maybe they didn't have the idea that he'd have to do it right now. I mean, this is pretty soon for a rookie. What do you think about all this?
You know, I think it's a big loss for him, obviously, but I think the timing is right. It's during training camp.
It's a great point.
Those young guys can get their reps. They've been battling these preseason games. So I think Dak's been dealing with it, you know, throughout these past few years. The offensive line has been having different lineups every other week. So I think they'll be fine. Move the guys out of the pocket, you know, give the offensive linemen some little relief plays so they're not, you know, fighting one-on-one every play. And like Jeff said, in past situations, they'll chip, have seven-man protections, all things to, you know, take the pressure off some of those young guys.
Yeah, I love what James said, too, about the timing of this. As bad as it is for you to lose players like Smith, this is the perfect. You still have a couple weeks to figure this thing out. Get guys in those positions. Get them reps with Dak and with the ones hearing it, how the play calls are going to come in, cadences, all the things that they're going to have to use to their advantage. So if it is going to happen, you hate it to happen, but if it does, this is the best time for it to happen as opposed to middle of the season or late in the season. All of a sudden, you're throwing a new body in there and it really, really counts. Everybody's kind of finding their footing at the beginning of the season. If it is going to happen, to James' point, point well made, this is the time to happen.
Still, it could be a huge impact. Guys, take a look at this. This is really interesting. When you talk about the last three seasons, and Diana, I know what you're saying. He hasn't been that sort of all-world presence, but still, this is how it lines up the last three seasons. You see him with him on the field, off the field, the TD interception rate, the sack rate, the contact rate. Jeff, what do you make of that?
Yeah, listen, this is what my agent said to the Cowboys, to the Colts when I was playing for Peyton Manning. He was like 2 yards better when I was on the field than he was. I'm just saying, if they had replaced me, he's probably still a pretty good quarterback, right? So I get it. Those are great stats. The truth of the matter is there was a lot of guys injured on that offensive line, a lot of rotation from the Cowboys offensive line over the last few years. Tyron Smith is a force. He has been one of the best left tackles in our game. But to Diana's point and the reaction, the last couple years, he has not been the same Tyron Smith, the most dominating left tackle. So, you know, those numbers help make you money. When it comes contract time, I don't think any coach is looking at that right now or overly concerned.
The kind of numbers linemen love to see. Yes, just like that.
I love it.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, a reminder, by the way, First Take is at the Star in Dallas this morning, 10 a.m., you don't want to miss it. It's Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin. Special guests include Jerry Jones and Dez Bryant. What a show that's going to be. Meanwhile, the Cowboys, they're going to host the Buccaneers opening weekend. And speaking of O-lines, the Bucs offensive line has had a multitude of injuries. Mm. And our Dan Orlovsky has his concerns. Take a look at this. The issue with all the Buccaneers OL injuries and departures is Brady leads the NFL in downfield completion since getting to Tampa. The number one reason for that has been how good the offensive line has been. Might not be an option anymore with this line. Very interesting. Diana, you talked to Todd Bowles about this last week. What did he tell you?
Yeah, I had a chat with him in Nashville when they had those joint practice with the Tennessee Titans, and it was actually the first thing we discussed. I basically just said, what's up with this O-line here? And he said, everyone needs to calm down about this O-line here. You guys aren't seeing the competition that we have in practice. These guys are ready. And, you know, I pushed back, obviously, asking, well, you lost Ryan Jensen. You know, this isn't just some average, you know, right, no-name guy. This is a special center with Tom Brady. They have a great relationship, and you know Brady values him. And he said, yeah, but this is why we draft the way we did. We were prepared for this. Not saying that he could, you know, tell the future there, but he was just saying that they feel really comfortable on this offensive line. So while it may seem, when you take a look at the list of players that have dealt with injuries, even since I had that conversation with Coach Bowles, they don't seem as concerned. And he kept pointing to the fact that they've got Tom Brady under center. He's dealt with this before. And he also pointed to the fact that they just make some adjustments schematically, like we just were talking about with the Dallas Cowboys, using your running backs, James, you know this, using your tight ends to be part of this and to be part of the protection.
Okay, and I just want us to put up that list again, because I think if any other quarterback in the NFL looks at that list and says, I lost these guys,
right,
all of this, I'm freaking, yeah, I'm not coming in tomorrow. But you played with Tom Brady, James. How is he taking these issues? How do you think he's going to handle this?
I think he's going to hold those new guys that come on that line, I think he's going to hold them accountable. He'll be a little bit more vocal. You may see him, you know, come to the sidelines and, you know, get those guys fired up a little bit when things aren't going
so
well.
Some choice words
that we can't say on TV. But like I said, he'll dink and dunk. He'll complete the ball to the tight ends, the running backs. And I don't think they're going to completely eliminate the down the field passing. Maybe they'll do it a little bit less, but you have weapons like Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Russell Gage as well. They're still going to take those down the field shots. Maybe they'll do it off play action or 7-man protections if they want to do that instead of doing 6-man protections. But it's schematically, they'll change it up, but those guys will still be fine. They'll still have one of those top down the field passing games in the league.
Will they be less effective with all these losses?
No, I don't think so. I think Tom Brady, he's been through it all, man. Played almost a quarter of a century in the NFL. He's dealt with every possible situation, not having receivers, not having linemen, not having a run game. he'll get this thing figured out.
What do you think?
Yeah, listen, this is more concerning for me than the Tyron Smith. I'll tell you why. Like, this group, the interior three that you saw, one retired, one went to the Bengals, and one is now injured. They had played 2,000 snaps together. That's a lot of snaps, right? So the comfort level of the interior portion of the pocket was fantastic. So although Dan doesn't listen often, he must be listening to me, because offensive line play does matter, especially for those down-the-field shots. So I take his point, and I love that he said it, because that is fact. The other point, the other side is, if there is a guy who can deal with this, I played against him, you played with him for a number of years, Tom Brady will find a way to make this work. And listen, whether it is dink and dunk, whether it is scheme, irrespective of what he's asked to do, he will find the way to put his team in the best position to be successful. And I will say this. When it comes to Tom Brady having to dink and dunk, use his running backs, use his tight ends, whatever is required, before the ball is even snapped, he knows where he's going to go with the ball. So it's not like, and I think he's less than 2.5 seconds in the pocket anyway, so he's one of the fastest in the NFL. He already understands how to do this. It will not take him out of deep shots. I'm telling you right now, it might, at the beginning of the season, it might affect him. Do not believe the hype that this dude ain't going to take shots down there, because he will take them shots. He'll design them. He'll scheme them, whatever. He's going to hit Evans. He's going to find, you know, he's going to find Julio Jones. He is going to find ways to push the ball down the field, because he understands that's how to stretch defenses, and they can't walk down and try to force him to do something he don't want to do. This is not a Ben Roethlisberger the last 2 years type offense. Guaranteed, they will still challenge down the field.
Diana, go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff, you bring up a good point. So we're sitting here trying to dissect what this offensive line could look like and how it could cause perhaps some problems, especially that interior part of the line. And that makes all the sense in the world. But Jeff, the sense I was getting when I was around Tampa wasn't the O-line. It's the receivers that they have concerns about, right? Yeah. The health of them. We know that Chris Godwin, he was working to the side. He's getting back. They did tell me that they have really optimistic feelings about his return earlier in the season. Mike Evans, obviously no Gronk. And look, Julio looks great right now. Let's see how Julio is in just a few weeks, right? Because this is the problem with him. I love Julio Jones. He's phenomenal, right? We know how great he is. But we saw what he was in Tennessee, which was was really nothing, because he just couldn't stay healthy.
All right, we'll see how this will all play out. I'll just say this. If TB12, if anybody can handle an issue like this, injuries like this, it's TB12. So there you have it. Coming up, a Steel City showdown, the final week of the preseason. Pickett or Trubisky, who should be Mike Tomlin's starting quarterback? We'll talk about that. And, look, we know who the starting quarterback is in Miami. It's Tua Tagovailoa. But what must he do to keep his job? We're talking about that and a lot more as Get Up continues.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Lexus. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Okay, let's play a little game we've been calling Whiteout. I make a statement, and James White, you're going to tell me if you white it out, meaning it's flat wrong. Patrick Mahomes will have his best season ever.
Going to have to white that one out. And his best season is throwing 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. I don't think he's going to top that one because that was really impressive. I like the additions that they made, you know, with Juju Smith and Sky Moore and Marcus Van Scalen. I think those guys are big-time playmakers. I just don't think he's going to top the 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns.
Okay, the Patriots will miss the playoffs.
I'm going to wipe that one out. I know everybody has a lot of questions about the play call situation, but Bill Belichick, Matty P, Joe Judge, they'll get it figured out. Mac Jones will have a big second year, and I think that defense is highly underrated.
Okay, and now the last one, 49ers should keep Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm going to keep that one. He's won them a lot of football games. He has like a 70% win percentage. He's done a lot for that organization. I mean, I think you should keep him, restructure the contract. You don't know how the Trey Lance situation is going to play out. You know, God forbid he gets injured, and you have a guy who you know what you can get from him. You're still there on your team.
All right. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Jimmy G later in the show in terms of what happens with him and when they have to make a decision. But let's go to another place where they got to make a decision on a quarterback in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger. Remember that guy? He made an appearance at training camp yesterday with a fresh retirement glow. And Steelers quarterbacks Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett both spoke and provided their pitches to be the next starting man in Steel City.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have just how I carry myself every day, what I've done on the practice field. Would like to do more last game, obviously, but hopefully get another opportunity this week to show why I should be in.
I'm going to play my ass off and then, you know, let the coaches, I trust them 100%. Whatever they think is best for the team, that's what we're going to roll with, and I'll be the best at whatever I can do.
All right, they're both handling it well. Diana, what's the very latest coming out of Pittsburgh on this?
All right, so this quarterback competition has certainly heated up just because what we've seen from the young rookie. I think he's showing a lot more than I think what some people in the organization expected at this point in the season. But I was told last night when I had a conversation with a Steelers source that this is Mitchell Trubisky's job to lose, meaning Mitchell Trubisky is the starter. And essentially, if he just makes major mistakes, or not just does it, but if he winds up making some major mistakes, that's when we could see the rookie step in. But for now, this is Mitchell's job.
Okay, his job to lose. So, James, I ask you, who should start week one in Pittsburgh?
Mitch Trubisky should be the week one starter. Like Diana said, he hasn't done anything to lose the job. So, mm-hmm. I think he deserves to be out there week one. I think he gives them a running threat. Their offensive line isn't, you know, the greatest. So, I think he can run some read option, do some things like that, get him outside the pocket. He can scramble a little bit to kind of, you know, relieve some of those offensive lineman woes. So I think he should be the day one starter, but I think everybody will be calling for Kenny Pickett by like week four. So there's definitely going to be pressure on him.
By week four, that's fast. What do you think?
That is quick. I agree. I think Trubisky should be the guy week one. And let's say, here's the thing. I think it's unfair. People are comparing like the numbers like Kenny Pickett and Trubisky. And, you know, if you look at what Kenny Pickett did, most of the completions are very short completions, and he's letting them run after the catch, which is great for a rookie. But he's also playing against light competition. You know, when teams start scripting for you and planning for you, which will happen a little bit more this week than has in the weeks prior in the preseason, it's a different game. And so I think people need to kind of pump the brakes right here about how his progression has looked. You see him competing against one of the best defenses in practice. You love to see that. But don't just take the preseason games and think you're going to make your decision based on those things. Trubisky has done a good job. Again, he's now, I think, 9 of 15. But he understands when teams script against you what it's going to look like. And I'm going to say this because James said it, and it's a great point. This isn't just a – this line is bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a bad offensive line. So a quarterback that can use his legs and use that zone read and all the different things, pieces and parts of Trubisky's game, I think make the Steelers better right now than Pickett from the pocket. Just because I think when teams known passing, you know, downs, it's going to be ugly. It could be ugly for Pittsburgh. So I'm just saying that from a rookie perspective, you don't want a bunch of exotic defenses and no protection. That leads to a beat up body, and that's not what Pittsburgh is looking for.
It's a good point. You don't want to throw him to the Wolves.
Right.
He's a rookie. You don't want to have his confidence damaged. But James, you played against Trubisky. What did you see from him on the field that told you what kind of guy this is?
We played him in 2018, and he actually gave us some problems. He did throw two interceptions, but he made some plays with his legs. He had like 81 yards rushing. So look, he's scrambling here to the right, turns completely around, and finds his way into the end zone. So that's the type of plays that he can do.
Yeah.
If the offensive line isn't going to hold up, you don't want to just throw Kenny Pickett out there. I know we played Sam Darnold early in his career, and you know we were running cover zero, and he, after the game, he's like, I was seeing ghosts out there. So
you don't want that to go away from him.
You don't want Kenny Pickett seeing ghosts, because that could lead for, you know, a long frustrating year. So I think Mr. Trubisky should be
out there. And emphasize that. Like I don't think people understand when defensive coordinators know who's playing, and they will script you up as – I mean, listen, there's a reason that their defensive coordinator is in the NFL, and they are going to give you all kinds of problems. You don't face that at all. You barely see it against your own defense in preseason. You dang sure ain't seeing it on the game day. So it is a completely different feeling, and it happens fast. When people talk about the speed of the game increases, wait till defenses start giving you some things you haven't seen, jumping things that you fall in love with. I'm going to jump it off here. I'm going to get the ball out of my face. They'll get on that. They'll stop that too. So the concern is real about his progress as far as can he do it. Again, let Trubisky come in. It might be week four. It might be before. It might be a little after. Mm-hmm. It's his job. He's going to be the starter for Pittsburgh. Don't rush it if he's not there.
And let's not forget, he might do a great job.
Absolutely.
In which case
Absolutely.
They say in
Light
Pittsburgh, let's keep him. Diana, yeah. I'll give you the final
sure.
word.
But look, the Steelers are really pleased with their rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett, with not just what he's doing on the field, but his intelligence in the meeting room. But look, they made an investment in Mitchell Trubisky. They want this to work. And I did have a conversation with someone in Pittsburgh last night who said, here's the best part about this. Competition breeds success. And when you have a good quarterback competition, everyone's just playing better.
I love how you said that because it's made everybody better in that quarterback room. I am sure of it. Now, let's go to this. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, this had me cracking up this morning. Bill Belichick went to UFC headquarters. Dana White gave him a championship belt. Now, watch the look on his face.
Yeah.
He's like, yes.
That's more emotion than I've seen him holding a number of Lombardi trophies. He was more fired up for that belt than I've ever seen in post-game celebration. I see you, Bill.
Have you ever seen him this happy, James?
I have. You know, I've seen him.
You have?
I've seen him a little bit more than you guys have, aside from the media. So, I mean, he's a fun guy to be around.
See, he's a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, he is.
How could we never see that part?
Doesn't like the media.
Oh, man. Come on. You know what? Next time I see him, I'm giving him a belt. Maybe he'll be happy then. Okay, coming up, does Tyron Smith's injury change everything in the NFC East? Is it now Jalen Hurts in the Eagles division to lose? We'll talk about that. And did you hear what Devontae Adams said, who he compared Aaron Rodgers to? Is the back-to-back MVP in rare air? We're talking about that. We come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can't stand no damn Cowboy.
First Take is officially in Cowboys country. Where's the most hated man in Dallas right now?
You lucky I took time out of my schedule to be here.
How about them Cowboys?
I can't stand it.
Where's my security?
Back up. Win a playoff game.
How do?
Oh, my goodness. Don't miss First Take at the Star in Frisco, Texas this morning at 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. It's Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin, special guest Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, and a whole lot more. Let's keep it with this, shall we, with the Cowboys, fact or fiction. Jeff, Dak Prescott will struggle with the loss of Tyron Smith.
I'm going fiction here. Listen, this is the number one offense last year. I think this will still be a very productive offense. They will have issues in the run game. We charted earlier. There'll be a yard. It's a yard difference in run game to the left. Play action pass will be a bit of a concern. Dak Prescott is a ascending quarterback, in my opinion. He'll continue to move. Their offense will still be very effective.
All right, we'll keep it in the NFC East. James, Carson Wentz and the Commanders are sneaky playoff contenders. Fact or fiction?
I think it's a fact. I think they played very competitive last year with Taylor Heineke. Now they have Carson Wentz at the helm, which is, you know, a little bit iffy in the quarterback situation. He is a proven year to me, but they play good defense. They have a lot of skilled players that, you know, can do some things with the ball in their hands. They got Terry McLaurin. You know, they got the rookie Jahan Dotson, Logan Thomas, Curtis Samuel. They have a good stable of running backs as well. So I think it's a proven year for Carson Wentz, but I think they'll be very competitive.
And Diana, the Eagles will win the NFC East. Fact or fiction?
James, you little Commander Homer today. It is a fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the division. Have you guys taken a look at this roster? Howie Roseman did some work this offseason, giving his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, pretty much everything he possibly needs. And in this division, guys, in football, we know the lines, they can help you win games, and the Eagles have the best line up front on offense and defense.
Love to hear it. I am from Philadelphia, though. But do we agree with Diana, though, Jeff, that the Eagles will win the division?
I don't. Listen, here's my concern here. We usually give the Cowboys way too much love in the preseason and offseason. I think we're taking a little bit away from them. Let's not forget, like, they beat the Cowboys. Dak Prescott has beaten the Eagles 5 out of 6 times. They've averaged almost 32 points a game. That's a pretty good record against your opponent in your division. So I'm still going to go with the Cowboys here until the Eagles clear show me. Now, Diana's point is well taken. Their line, offensive and defensive line are better than the Cowboys. I still trust Dak Prescott and what they're going to do offensively to put points on the board. And when Philly has to score in a track meet, can they do it? That's going to be interesting for me.
Yeah, and that's going to be key. And I look at Jalen Hurts and all of this. I do you think that if Jalen Hurts, his up, his down this season, is he the determining factor
100%.
For this
team? It's not even close. And what Jalen Hurts does is going to depend. That's going to be the success or failure of this football team. Can he, with A.J. Brown, with Smith, with all the weapons you're talking about, with a great offensive line and an incredible rushing attack, can he command this thing and take that offense to the next level? You're going to get into games where you're going to have to put up a significant amount of points. Do you trust him to beat you from the pocket, continue to make those throws? That's going to be Jalen Hurts. That's going to be the team. Success or failure rests on his shoulders.
James Way, what do you think? Who wins this division?
I think it's the Cowboys, strictly based off Dak Prescott. He's the most consistent quarterback in that division. I think their defense, second year with Dan Quinn at the helm. I think they created a lot of turnovers last year, so I'm going to roll with the Cowboys.
Okay. You know, I think it's interesting.
See, this is my issue with that, James. James, I love what you're saying about the turnovers, right? But when you're reliant on your success on defensive turnovers 2 years in a row, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence. You're going to have to do more on offense because you can't depend on that. Yes, they're well coached, and yes, they took a major step last year. But for them to do that again, the chances are really slim, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And for that reason, I would say the Eagles have the best chance to win this division.
Homer.
Now, look. I got to tell you something. And that's a good point. I got to tell you something. Here's the thing with me on the Eagles. I would have said no, but I think on paper they have the best team. This is my question with this team. On paper, the lines are the best. On paper, the running back, running game strong, receiver strong. Everything looks good. Can they put it all together and win this division? I don't know, but I think they're the best of the lot. I don't think you can trust Carson Wentz in Washington, and let's not even talk about the Giants. So then it comes down to the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I think with the Tyron Smith issue, their line issues, their receiver issues, I think we have the fewest issues of all the teams in that division. But let's take it a step further, James.
We.
Yeah, thank you, Diana. Thank you. Let's take it a step further. James, here's the other part of this. Some people are looking at the Eagles and saying, this is a Super Bowl contender. So I want to go back to Jalen Hurts. Is he the determining factor between them being Super Bowl quality or not?
100%. I think in those knowing passing situations, he's going to have to stand in the pocket and make those throws. You know, in the past few years, he hasn't been able to do that. He's a 25th ranked passer from the pocket. His QBR sits between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, which isn't great. If they want to be a Super Bowl contender, he's going to have to stand in there and make those throws. I know they had the best rushing, you know, team in the league last year, which is a big help. But to be a Super Bowl contender, you're going to have to stand in there and make those throws on, you know, third and short, third and long in the red zone when your team needs a play. You got to be able to make them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, but this whole team on paper looking great. We'll see how it all plays out when the season starts. So let's go to Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers, man, he's getting a lot of love. He's also getting used to life without Devontae Adams after his number one receiver was traded to the Raiders. Now, Adams spoke about his old quarterback and made a comparison that stopped us in our tracks. Take a listen to this.
He's the best quarterback, you know, in my opinion, to play this game. I think a lot of what he did for me was not just about the type of balls or whatever that he threw, you know, great back shoulder, whatever. Like, there was obviously that, but the way that he had the Michael Jordan effect as far as, like, he gonna make you play better. He gonna bring out your best just by being on the field.
Wow. And you see him, by the way, talking to our man Ryan Clark in the Pivot Podcast. So let's give them a shout out, too. Jeff, what do you make of Adam saying Rodgers has that Michael Jordan effect?
I don't love the whole Michael Jordan thing, right? If you're going to compare somebody, Michael Jordan is going to have to be Tom Brady, right? Because it's about championships, okay? However, I don't want to get lost in semantics of the comment. I think his point, I don't want to be dismissive of his point, is he is a driver, meaning Aaron Rodgers is a driver for this football team. When he hits the field, there is a different level of expectations. There's a different level of accountability. And whether that's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, those guys get the most from other players because the demands they put on them. And so I completely agree with you. I think when Rodgers hits the field, there is a different sense of urgency. When he hits the field, you heard him earlier this season criticizing his wide receivers and people all up in arms. She should have done it private. Guaranteed he did that privately, folks. Mm-hmm. He did it privately and public. He don't, you think he cares? Like, he ain't worried about hurting people's feelings. I think that's the point that Devontae Adams is making. When he walks on the field, he commands respect. He's going to put his time in. He expects the same of those other teammates. I think that's what he's getting to. But that Michael Jordan thing, again, I don't love that.
Yeah,
but
you're not going to take that, it to the MJ level.
Right. Yeah, let's not get there. That's got to be the Tom Brady conversation because of championships. But the pursuit of excellence, I think, is well taken.
You're talking about Brady. James, you played a lot with Tom Brady. Are practices different when Brady was and wasn't there? Like, how does that play out?
100% the practices were different. You know, I think it's like my third and fourth year, Tom, when, you know, take a day here and there during the season, during practices. And I think the players knew, the coaches knew. It was almost like the players almost like relaxed a little bit when he wasn't there. And it was just a little bit different. I think Jeff spoke to it. It's like the sense of urgency is a lot higher when he's in the huddle. I know, you know, coming in as a rookie, getting in the huddle with Tom for the first time, he's saying the play calls like gun trips right 74 alert. I'm like, hold on, like, are you speaking Spanish? I can't really understand what you're saying. But the sense of urgency, the operation is just so much faster than anybody else, and those guys just demand the best from their teammates each and every time you step on that football field.
Was Peyton I love that. We used to call Peyton Marble Malik. He had marbles in his mouth. He'd give you a call, and everybody be sitting there looking, going, wait a minute, what did he just say? Because in their head, they've already gone through this, right? The minute that call comes into their earpiece, man, they're firing. They're thinking of what defense they're going to face. Like, they have a million things going on, and they're so much farther ahead than everybody else. So to James's point, but let me tell you something. When they ain't at practice, it's like everybody goes, You know, when they walk in the room, everybody tightens up. Everybody sets up, you know.
I love this. What's this about? Is that what's happening here?
All right, so we're playing the Rams on Monday night, and the whole week we're scripting. When we get inside the 5-yard line, we're going to rush the football. They run cover 4, so this is the way we're going to affect it, you know? No, Manning gets down there and checks to 3 audible passes, all incompletions, by the way. So I'm pissed. I come off the field. I'm yelling at our coordinator, Tom Moore, thinking it was him who made the calls. I had no idea that Manning had checked him. So he hears me yelling, and he gets mad. He comes down there yelling at me. And, dude, we go back and forth. The exchange happens. So he gets it. Later on in the game, though, you see the little hug that we had afterwards?
Yep.
That's his I'm sorry hug. We got down there again, folks. Recognize we ran the pill to win that game. We ended up winning right there. I was dead wrong Saturday. You the man, smarter than me, be carrying him on my back once again, and the world gets to see it. Everybody wants to talk about him cussing me, and James knows. Yeah. You're going to get cussed. Yeah. There are going to be things. You're going to be caught questioning your parents. All kinds of things you're going to be questioning. However, when it comes down to it, bro, we'll go at it. We're all trying to win. So
you know what? I just want to clip off this segment and email it to Peyton Manning and say, Peyton, your thoughts.
Yeah. Fast forward it to him. He knows. He knows. There ain't nothing I said not true. It's all facts.
I love it. I love it. We speak the truth here. All right, everybody. Love this discussion. We'll talk more about this in a little bit. Well, coming up, is anybody under more pressure than Tua? We'll tell you what must happen for the Dolphins quarterback to keep his job. And don't miss it. What were the best blocks in the NFL over the last week? Look who's here. Jeff Saturday, ready to hand out some pancakes when we come back.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Crowds already starting to gather at the Star in Frisco, Texas. Don't miss First Take Live this morning, 10 a.m. You're not going to want to miss it. Molly, Stephen A., special guests, Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, Michael Irvin's going to be there too. All right, let's get right into some pancakes.
Shut them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh.
I'm hungry.
They think they get on. Hey, they think they fired up in Texas. Guess what? They fired up in New York City, baby. To show them what's up. They don't know about Texas. Cakes are getting delivered right here, right back in studio. Let's do this. Hey, Cam Jurgens, center for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a two-time offender, folks. You want to see why? Check him out right here. On the pull, skip pull, look at the speed. Oh, no, you done, man. You done. Hey, if you're a little man and you see him coming down tracking you, go ahead and avoid that hit because he puts you on your back. That thing is nasty. That's 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, Jurgens is putting people down. Look at that right there. Tell me if you're a running back, James, how good does that feel when you see him just smoking people on the back end of that thing?
So good.
Oh, my goodness. One pancake. Again, it's a little man. Little man, watch yourselves, boys. Don't try to buckle it up like that. Not quite as good. Hey, two pancakes right here. We're going Abraham Lucas. Seattle, he gets this defensive thing's going to cross his face. No, sir. No, sir. And guess what? Don't catch it like that, little man. You're going to get taken to the ground. Look at the finish right here. He tries to re-roll him. He gets caught so fast, he knows he's going down. Try to re-roll him. Don't ever try to cross a big man's face. Bad decision, my man. Bad decision, 99. Abraham Lucas, congratulations. That's two cakes because you take a big man and put him on his back. Listen, the final one. Woo! This is so good. Trevor Penny, everybody hates on this kid right now. Look at him. He gets him once, throws him down, but the finish, he helps Cesar Ruiz finish the next guy. He goes and gets his, then
wants to find another one and finish him. That is a thing of beauty. He plays with a different level of nastiness. He's been a whole concern. Everybody's like, oh, is he too bad? Is he too mean? Whatever. This right here, that's three pancakes. Get on a D lineman and then help finish your boy Ruiz's guy, too. Absolutely love that. Three pancakes.
Making it happen. Oh. Can you see that? Do you get fired up for that being on offense?
You got to love it. You get that extra yards, you know?
Oh.
Every time.
Ain't nothing better than watching offensive lineman finish. Everybody knows it. That thing is so nasty. Got to love it.
Really? This is like a match made in heaven right here. Mutual love.
Nice.
What happened
nice.
Between linemen and running backs. All right. Let's go to Miami and talk about some quarterbacks where all eyes are on third-year quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. His first year under Mike McDaniel. Now, this is interesting. McDaniel went on SiriusXM NFL Radio and talked about the perception and expectations for his 24-year-old signal caller. Take a listen.
He didn't choose to be picked sixth in the first round. He was picked sixth, but that is a burden with pressure. And he is playing the quarterback position with intent, purpose, a deliberate nature, with conviction. And I couldn't be happier with where he's at. You're watching a guy become a professional right in front of your eyes.
Okay, now first of all, Tua was picked fifth. You know who was picked sixth? Justin Herbert. I don't know, Coach.
No.
Are you thinking about you wish you had him? James, what do you think about these comments, though, about Tua?
Look, nobody gets to pick where they get drafted, but if you do get picked fifth overall, there's going to be a lot of pressure on you. And right now he hasn't shown enough promise, but, you know, you got an offensive-minded head coach now. You got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, a good stable of running backs, Mike Gesicki. I think it's put-up or shut-up time for Tua. You know, you get picked fifth overall, we got to see something now.
Yeah, he knows the expectations that are out there. So given those expectations, what does he need to do, Jeff, to keep his job?
I mean, limit turnovers, make sure he's in command of this offense. Here's the best part. McDaniel, although he screwed up his draft, let me tell you what doesn't screw up, run game. Mm. This guy was the run game coordinator in San Francisco for a number of years, then became the offensive coordinator. Tua's going to depend on this run game because once it gets going, it opens up everything on the back end for play action, movement of the pocket. All of that becomes easy. You see Jimmy G has played extremely well in this system. Tua can as well, irrespective of where he's drafted. Who cares? At this point, he has to get better. He has to be more accurate. He has to be more command of the offense. I think Mike McDaniel is going to do a good job of getting him further along in the process where he can do those things.
I want to show people this because you look at the Dolphins' schedule, right? Their first four games. Take a look at this because this is not easy.
Ooh.
Patriots at Ravens, Bills, Bengals. James, how did they go in their first four with Tua at the helm?
I can see them going 1-3.
Oof.
Like I said, that could be a rough start for them.
Can he keep his job in that situation?
I think so. I think they'll stick with him throughout the entire season. I know everybody says they have Teddy Bridgewater, who is a solid quarterback as well, but I think he has the vote of confidence from the coaching staff and his teammates. So you just got to go out there and do it, man.
Wow. I think that's interesting because if they start 1-3, Diana, you have to wonder if Bridgewater gets off the bench and steps in because this is a team not just with playoff aspirations, but they want to go a lot further than that.
James, I know you're new to this TV thing, but in our business, we say you just lead with the headline. And the headline here is just go win Tua. That's essentially what he just needs to go out there and do. And all of this pressure that we're talking about, all the things that we are dissecting about the type of quarterback he is. Is he accurate? Can he throw downfield? All of that goes away if the Dolphins start winning. And Jeff talked about what this offense is going to look like. And I don't know if I can emphasize it enough on the show how much the Miami offense is going to look like the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. It is almost identical. So what you saw there is exactly what you're going to see in Miami. And from everything that we're hearing, and we've heard a lot this summer about Tua, about how he's connecting with Tyreek Hill and his pass catchers and Jalen Waddle, obviously, all of that is good. It's just, can they put it together?
I know you want to jump in.
Yeah, yeah. Sneaky addition here. Taron Armstead, the left tackle from the Saints, who now is with the we talk about players being drivers in the locker room. He is a driver for this offensive line. The productivity from this offensive line, I think, will go up significantly because of guys like that. Again, they've revamped it. I'm not saying it's not the same, but the pieces they have added, that is very calming for a quarterback, especially who wants to take shots down the field with speedy receivers. Knowing your left side is locked down, and that's the type of tackle Armstead is a big deal for a QB.
That's a great point. Now, Diana, I understand that you've got some developing news in Miami. What's happening down there?
Yeah, so there's joint practices down in Miami between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dolphins, and the Dolphins canceled practice today because last night some sort of stomach bug is going around. I spoke to a source a few minutes ago before we came back from commercial and said they're not ruling out food poisoning. That's something that's going on. So a lot of the guys throwing up, and you can do the rest of the math of probably what's going down there. The Eagles, though, they're all right. The Eagles are going to practice. The Dolphins are just going to work virtually today just to, you know, take some precautions here so this doesn't continue to spread.
Oh, man, I won't make light of it, but I'll tell you what. I hope those guys get better soon because that's kind of a – that doesn't sound pleasant. All right, now speaking of the Dolphins.
Food poisoning.
Dolphins. Yeah, exactly. Dolphins had a joint practice with the Eagles, and that was yesterday. Look at Tyreek Hill on Darius Slay.
It's unfair. Yeah.
Look at this.
I just
what for, do you make of that?
Just for all the fans, this drill is set up for offense. They should win this the majority of times. But how you go, like, don't do them dirty like that. Like, put that clip out there. It's a good route, but that is tough sledding.
I know.
You are earning your pay for sleigh. Like, there's no doubt.
We showed this video under protest from the anchor.
Yes.
You are embarrassing Mr. Slay. James, what do you make?
He's doing this in every corner in the NFL.
That's right. He's doing it on every corner. Ain't no doubt.
All right, let's run the floor a little bit with this news. Thunder rookie Chet Holmgren, the Oklahoma City Thunder, undergoing tests for a possible right foot injury, suffered in a pro-am game Saturday in Seattle. Holmgren, the number 2 overall pick, suffered the injury while defending LeBron James on the fast break. So that's big news. We'll keep an eye on that. The Lakers, in our second story, are finalizing a trade to acquire guard Patrick Beverley from the Jazz, sources told ESPN last night. The deal is going to spend the Lakers guard Talen Horton Tucker and forward Stanley Johnson to the Jazz. So that's interesting. And then in the WNBA playoffs, the Connecticut Sun advanced to the semifinals after defeating the Dallas Wings 73-58. Dewana Bonner led the way with 21 points. The Sun are going to face the defending champion Chicago Sky in the next round. And we will have a good one for you from MLS. Two great Western Conference matches for you tonight. The first one has first place LAFC taking on second place Austin FC at 8 Eastern. Then its rival Timbers and the Sounders at Providence Park. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Well, coming up, much more on the big story of the morning, Tyron Smith's injury last night. How devastating is this for Dallas and Dak and that offense? We're talking about that and a lot more when we come back